list point. That's easy. The rest of them are not as easy.
Yes, they are. Simple stuff tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 31. 1 Samuel chapter 31. All right. Man, it's been a blessing this week. Feels like we've been here a couple weeks already, doesn't it? Been here 2 days. This is the third day. We've been here 2 or 3 days or something. I don't know. 1 Samuel 31, the singing's been great. Thank you to everybody who's been doing specials and things. It's just a blessing. It's really, really good. Let's see here. 1 Samuel chapter 31, verse number 8. Well, let's read verse number 7. This is the end of Saul's life, and unfortunately the end of Jonathan's life as well. I'm going to make a spiritual application to a Christian as well. It says in verse 6, Saul died and his 3 sons and his armor bearer, and all his men that same day together. And when the men of Israel that were on the other side of the valley, and they that were on the other side of Jordan, saw that the men of Israel fled, and that Saul and his sons were dead, they forsook the cities and fled. And the Philistines came and dwelt in them. And it came to pass on the morrow, when the Philistines came to strip the slain, that they found Saul and his 3 sons fallen in Mount Gilboa. Pastor Mike Wheeler, are you in here? Will you open us in prayer, please, sir?
Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight, God, in the name of our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We ask, God, that you might touch Brother Sam tonight. We ask, God, that you get him out of the way, hide him behind the cross.
Amen.
Lord, we pray that you'll fill him with your Holy Spirit, give him unction on high. And God, we pray that you'll move upon him tonight and let him speak the words that you've laid upon his heart. We ask, God, that you use him in a mighty way tonight.
Amen.
God, we pray you help him to preach like he's never preached before.
Yes,
in his life.
Amen.
Ask God tonight, Lord, that we can feel your spirit in your presence in this service.
Yes.
God, let your power be known.
Yes.
God, we pray that you let your presence be revealed to us.
Mm.
Open the word of God to us, God, and let us be able to see something and understand something out of your word tonight.
Amen.
It's truly a blessing to be able to open your word, Lord, and you speak to us. And we ask, God, tonight that you do just that for us.
Thank
God,
you,
we
Lord.
Beg for Jesus' sake.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. In 1 Samuel 31, we have some people that fell. And there's a great old sermon on this called Stripping the Slain. People come by and they strip the slain after they've fallen. We come into a meeting like this, and hopefully you've been charged up this weekend. I've been just absolutely charged up so far this weekend. And hopefully it encourages folks who might be down or might be a little in despair or having some problems, just some overall issues and feeling a little draggy, you know what I mean? Feeling draggy. There's all kinds of stuff that will latch onto you in the Christian life. You'll be going along and you feel like you're doing fine, then you look back and you got all this stuff latched onto you. It might be people that are talking bad about you, or it might be problems at work, or it might be, you know, all kinds of problems in church, all kinds of different issues that kind of latch on and grab onto you and drag you down. But hopefully this meeting has been something that will charge you up and that'll help you just to shake that stuff off. It's like Paul over in the New Testament when he got bit by a snake. You know what he did? He shook it off.
Amen.
He just shook it off and he kept going. And that's what we as Christians have to do sometimes. Sometimes you just gotta shake it off. Sometimes you just gotta move. There's just nothing else you can do. There's no getting around the problem. There's no fixing the problem. There's no solving it. Sometimes you just gotta shake it off and say, I'm just not gonna let this thing bring me down and put me into despair. Because that's what the devil wants to do. He wants to drag you down into despair. But you know what? No matter what the problem is, the despair is worse than the problem that's causing it.
Amen.
The despair is a worse problem than the problem that's causing it, because the despair will drag you down and cause you to quit and get out altogether.
Amen.
So whatever it is, I hope that I can be an encouragement to you to don't let them get you down. Don't let them keep you down tonight. Maybe you've come in here tonight and you've got something that is just dragging on you, and everybody in here is shouting and you're seeing people and you're going, man, this is so good, but I just can't get with it. You know, everybody, have you ever felt like you're in a bubble and everybody around you is just enjoying the time in the Lord and you're just like, there's just something that won't let you get into it. Maybe it's a sin that you won't let go of, or you can't let go of, or it's a person that's sitting right next to you or across the aisle from you that you can't let go of, but they're causing this thing to drag you down and make it to where you cannot enjoy the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you tonight, don't let them drag you down. Don't let them keep you down. And I'd like to go in just a couple quick things here tonight. Look at verse 8. It says, it came to pass on the morrow when the Philistines came to strip the slain. The next day, these people had been laying in this field for a whole day. You know what's happening after a day? They're starting to rot. They're starting to spoil. And that's what will happen to you if you let them get you down, if you let them drag you down and lay there dead spiritually in the field, you will start to spoil. You will start to rot. Have you ever walked around and said, man, what's that smell? Walked into a room, what's that smell in this room? And you walk over and you're like, look under the, you know, open the refrigerator. Isn't there a refrigerator? No. And you walk over and you notice it's in the bedroom too. What is that? What is that smell? Man, there's something in this house. And you walk in the bathroom. There's something. Man, what's that smell? And you realize it's you. Oh, man. That's not good. Well, listen. Some of you stink tonight. I'm trying not to get on to you. I'm trying to encourage you, but I'm trying to tell you, if you let people drag you down, you will start to spoil. You will start to rot. I was a little kid, probably Bubby's age, and I went to a wedding, and they had meatballs at the wedding. And I was a little kid. I loved this big tray full of meatballs. I thought this was the coolest thing in the world. So I grabbed some meatballs and I wrapped them up in a napkin, and I stuck them in my pockets. And I took them home, and I put them in the sock drawer for later. And I said, man, I'm going to hold on to these things. They'll be good later. They were not good later. They immediately started to spoil. They immediately started to stink. If you've ever owned a used car, you know exactly what I'm talking about. As soon as you drive it off the lot, it immediately starts falling apart. Amen, Brother Matt, right? He's like job security right there. That's what it is. I had an old Volkswagen I've told you about a million times, and as soon as I bought that thing, it started to fall apart. I mean, it would not stay in fifth gear. I had to have a coat hanger wrapped up around the gear shifter tied to the glove box so it would stay in fifth gear when I was on the road. It was terrible. I had to hold on to it before I got the coat hanger. I had to hold it up there. I was driving home from Pensacola holding this thing in fifth gear. I've got the window rolled down because the air conditioning doesn't work. And a huge, one of those big Florida just bugs. You don't even know what they are. There's bugs in Florida. We don't even know what they are. You know what I mean? Have you ever seen a bug and you're like, what in the world is that? It's like the tribulation started. Just bugs flying around. A bug like that flew in the window and landed in my pocket. And it's flying around like this in my pocket. And I'm holding this thing and I'm driving. And it was a bad deal. That car was a piece of junk. It just started falling apart. You couldn't even drive the car without having to do something to it. You know, I'd get in the car and I'd have to push start the car. Push start the car and push start the car and push start the car over and over and over and over and over again. It was always just, you couldn't, you know what's nice about having a new car? I don't buy used cars anymore. I'd rather pay a payment for the rest of my life than buy a used car. You know why? I don't want to think about it. I don't want to leave the house and think, is my car going to start? But that's what a lot of Christians are like. If you let these people drag you down, it's going to all be about you. Amen. It's going to be every time someone comes around, they're having to tend to you, having to fix you up. Oh, we need to help you. We need to prop you up. And you're walking around and everybody's having a good time and you've got this mope on your face. And then you're dragging the people around you down. Because you're starting to spoil, and they can smell you. And your attention is all on you. You know, you ever walked into the woods and you start seeing vultures coming around? You know why? There's something dead out there. If you ever lose a deer in the woods, they say, look for vultures. Because all of the attention of all these animals will be on that dead thing in the woods. And that's it. You come into a church and, man, it's just like you got to attract all this attention to yourself. And you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that we are not supposed to have the preeminence. The Lord Jesus Christ is supposed to have the preeminence. And man, the Lord's had the preeminence in this church this weekend. It's a blessing to be in a place where it's about the Lord. And Brother Micaiah preached a message today about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he preached about the name of Jesus Christ. And he preached about the nation of Jesus Christ. And he preached about what was the third point? The nativity of Jesus Christ. Well, that's not as good as the second two, but yes, the name of Jesus Christ, the nation of Jesus Christ. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. You come into this place, and that's one thing that's just great about this place. There's no big preacher here. I love this crowd of people. I love you guys. First of all, you are all very strange people. You are all very weird. I was sitting in the back the other day and looking around trying to find a normal person here. I said, Brother TK, you are the most normal person in this church. I don't know what that means, but that's just... But I love you because I've been in other camps and crowds and all this stuff, and they're just weird. You walk around that you go into walk into the thing and they walk around. Dr. Lentz used to say they have this big old belly that's coming out and they've got their Bible under their arm and they don't talk right. They're like, "Oh, hello, brother," you know, and they're just drawing attention to themselves. Instead of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's great to come into a church, come into a place where you just, there's nobody trying to get some kind of big spotlight on you. Look at this. Amen. Look at me.
Amen.
And you can get in and you can look at the Lord Jesus Christ Amen. In this place. Amen. If you can't find the Lord Jesus Christ in this place, you're not looking. You got your eyes closed. And some of you can't find them. You got your eyes closed. Some of you got, you've got your eyes, you've got, or you can't find them because you're looking in the mirror. It's all about me and my problems and all the stuff that I got going on, and you're just I understand I understand there's people got problems. I understand that, you know, I think it was Moody or Spurgeon, one of those old preachers said, if you just look around, you look to your left, you look to your right, you got somebody with a serious problem sitting right there.
Right.
I'm not downplaying that at all. I hope this can be a refreshing to you. I hope that this meeting will be a place where you can get some refreshing from that problem.
Amen.
And where you'll allow the Lord Jesus Christ to pick you up. You got to let Him pick you up, though.
Amen.
You got to let Him pick you up. You can't be that person that just the Lord's standing right there. He's got His hand reached out to you. He's got it right there. He's saying, "Look, I'll get you up. I'll pick you up.
Amen.
Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest."
Amen.
He's got His hand outstretched to you. Don't sit there and say, "Well, there's an old punk rock song that says, 'I miss the comfort of being sad.'" Some of the people in here, you're just comfortable in your despair. You don't want to get out of it because you're comfortable in it. You like it.
Amen.
The Lord, it's not because of the Lord.
Right.
He'll help you.
Amen.
He'll help you. Get up. Get up quickly. Because you start to spoil immediately. Get up quickly. Because look at verse 2. Verse 2 says, it wasn't just Saul that died in this place. It was his sons. The Philistines slew Jonathan and Abinadab and Malchishua, Saul's sons. Get up. Don't let them get you down because you're wasting years.
Amen.
It's one of the tragedies of a young person. Someone dying when they're young. You know, you look at the years that they you say, "Man, what about them getting married? And what about, you know, what about the kids? What about the grandkids?" And you think about all of these years, and you think about all this stuff, and you go, "Man, that's a sad thing. What would Jonathan have been? What would those other sons have been that's gone?" We never know what would have happened with Jonathan because he fell. It's a sad thing. I turned 30 years old a few years ago, and it was one of those weird kind of times. You know, you turn a decade and you look back at your 20s, and to me, it was very vivid to me. Those 20s, it was like, it wasn't like a vision, okay? It wasn't like some kind of, but it was very clear. It was like the Lord took a book and said, "These are your 20s. This is this book." And He placed them on a shelf and said, "There it is." Mm-hmm. And you want to reach up and grab that and say, "Well, let me get a couple of them. Let me get 27 back.
Yeah.
Let me take and rewrite some of the things." And the Lord said, "The 20s are there. It's sealed.
Amen.
It's done. It's that's it.
That's right.
When we get to the judgment seat of Christ, take that down and we'll open it up." And we'll look at it. When you allow this thing to drag you down, you're just wasting years.
That's right.
Wasted. That's old. Isn't there an old hymn that says "wasted years"? I heard somebody sing it, and I think it was like an older lady, and she was just "wasted years." What's worse, wasted years? You're going to look back on this time where you won't let the Lord pick you up and stop all this, all the other stuff from getting you down. And I'll look back on it and say, "This was wasted. I wish I could have those years back. I wish I could have that time back." Look at verse 8 again. verse 8 says, "And it came to pass on the morrow, when the Philistines came to strip the slain." They came to strip the slain. You know what this is? There was a group, this was a war happening here, and there was a group of people that were kind of like, you call them like gypsies or something maybe. They're basically scavengers, they're like vultures. And they would follow, there was actually a camp of people, and they would follow around battles back then. And it actually happened during the Civil War and some other wars throughout history. But they would follow battles around. And they would sit there and wait for a battle to happen. And then as soon as everybody moved on, they would descend on them and start grabbing stuff. They would look down and come dig around and say, "Oh, look, here's a sword. And here's a gold watch. You know, and here's some money. And here's, oh, look, I can get some money for this." And then you see this guy is laying on the ground, and he's got everything that he's worked for his whole life is pinned to him and on him. And everything that he's earned, everything that he's worked, and then just a few minutes later, it's just been ripped off of him. Grab this, grab that, rip this, grab that, and he's left just with nothing. And it happened the next day. When you allow the junk to drag you down, when you allow your spiritual life to get stagnant and don't get back up and don't keep moving for the Lord Jesus Christ, it is very quick before you start to get stripped of your rewards.
Amen.
It's very quick before you start to have the devil come in and pull the things that you worked so hard for. You know what the preachers are thinking of in this room, this verse they're thinking of now? "Look to yourselves, that you lose not those things which you have wrought, but that you receive a full reward."
Amen.
You've got stuff that you have worked for, that you have sacrificed for, and the Lord Jesus Christ has given to you and said, "Well done." But the devil comes along and he grabs those things. He takes those things. You know, when Joseph, they threw Joseph in the pit, they stripped his coat off of him. Samuel, he's down in the Philistines, and they're taking his eyes from him. Esau, he's real tired, he's down, and they strip his birthright from him. The prodigal son, he's away from the father's house, they strip everything that he has, all of his inheritance from him. The Lord Jesus Christ, when they put him on the cross, they're grabbing and they're casting lots for his garment. They're going to wait for you to be in a bad situation, and they're going to strip everything they can strip from you.
Amen.
That is what the world does.
Amen.
That is what they do.
You're right.
You know, we work with retirees and things. It is the saddest thing when a retired person, when an older person passes away, they haven't put together some kind of will or instructions for their kids, because the kids just descend on the stuff. And they just act like vultures. They act like it's terrible to see the kids fighting with each other over their parents' stuff.
Amen.
That is what, that's all, you say, well, that's family. That's not even your enemies. That's family. The devil is waiting. He is waiting to strip your rewards away. If you don't get up and keep moving, you're losing the things that you've wrought. Brother Hicks told us the other day, or yesterday, about giving homeless people the clothes and all that stuff, and they fall asleep. As soon as they go to sleep out there, other people come by and they start taking it away from them. And that's what's happening to you. If you're allowing yourself to be asleep, if you're allowing these people to drag you down and to hold you back from the Lord Jesus Christ, there are people that are waiting right there, come by, and they start grabbing your joy. They start grabbing your health. They start grabbing your rewards. They start grabbing your testimony. They start grabbing your love for the Lord Jesus Christ. They start grabbing your fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. They start grabbing it away from you. And you say, "I don't want to be gone." Get back up. Keep moving. Keep going towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't let these people drag you down. Look at verse 8 again. "When it came to pass on the morrow," look at the speed of the strike. The very next day, you say, "Well, I've got some time." Yes. I mean, I do. There have been times in my life when I was in despair. I was just everything going on around me, all really good meetings here, preacher preaching like a revival every week, and I'm just like dry. Just, and the Lord was merciful, and the Lord was long-suffering.
Amen.
The Lord gave me, like preacher preaches about Elijah under the juniper tree, He gave me just an evening there, an evening of my life, and He fed me a little bit.
Amen.
And then He said, "How are you doing?" "Not doing that good, Lord." He fed me a little bit more.
Amen, amen.
"How are you doing?" "Not doing that good, Lord." He fed me a little bit more.
Amen.
And you can get that. But you know what Elijah did? He grabbed the biscuit and he ate it. There's a fine line there with despair where you'll take that food and start pushing the food away. And if you start pushing the food away, you spiral worse.
Amen.
You go to somebody who's sick, you go to somebody who's downtrodden, and you say, "You know what? You got to eat something. You just got to eat something." And that's what you got to do with the Lord. You got to eat something. Don't push it away. Might just be a little bit. It might just be a tad. Might just be this whole meeting, all the stuff's going on, and you just grab onto one little morsel.
Good, brother.
One little piece, just one little morsel that you grab onto.
Amen.
You say, that'll keep me going. That's good. Do that. Just grab onto that. But don't leave here and push away from the table. Don't leave and say, and all the other reasons, all the other excuses, all the people that are causing you to have all this stuff in your head. Make sure you get something from this meeting.
Yeah.
Some
Amen.
Kind of morsel. Something that can help you and give you sustain and give you encouragement to move ahead. Something like that. Because it's quick. It happens fast.
That's right.
Say, "Well, I've got plenty of time." You don't have plenty of time. If you leave here and you don't get anything from it, you don't allow yourself to get anything from it, you will be worse later. And they will come in and they will strike and start taking stuff immediately. We were fishing, offshore fishing one time. I hate offshore fishing because I get very bad seasick. Brother TK was just making fun of me because we were going out. He wasn't making fun of me, I'm just kidding. But he was just saying, "Hey, Brother Sam, remember that time we went out on the bay? We didn't even get out of the bay before you were like, 'Turn around, take me back home,' because the waves were 4 foot or so." Right? I don't think that's wimpy. I think most people, well, whatever, maybe not. I was laying on the ground of the boat and coming off the boat from the waves. And they're all going, "Oh yeah, this is all right. We can take this, right?" And I'm going, "Turn around. We're going to die out here. I can't die out here. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to get up before the Lord Jesus Christ and say, 'What were you doing out there? I didn't call you to be an offshore fisherman. What were you doing?" We just had an opportunity to go skydiving last weekend. You know what I said? No. Because I do not want to die skydiving. I don't want to stand. Now, I want to go to heaven, but not like that. I do not want to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and have Him go, "Oh my gosh. All that time that I had Brother Peacock just pulling his hair out trying to teach you how to do this stuff, and you jump out of the plane!" So we were offshore fishing, catching nothing. And I said, "Let's throw our nets on the other side of the boat. And you'll be amazed at what happens." Not a thing. Because I'm not Jesus Christ. So we threw our nets on the other side of the boat. We took this pink tubing and threw it out there and said, "If we're not catching anything, we might as well catch a barracuda. At least we'll have something on the line, right?" And we catch a barracuda real quick. They'll eat anything. They'll just grab onto anything. Just pink. So like some of you, "Yeah, amen. Yeah, that's a nice music stand. Amen. Great. That's really good. All right. Excellent. That's good. That's fine. Grab onto it." But there's two of them. And they're swimming along, and one of them grabs onto it. And he's bleeding a little bit. Instantly, I mean, we couldn't get the fish on the boat. We couldn't reel it in halfway. Instantly, his buddy attacks him and bites him in half. We reeled up a barracuda head is what we caught all day. It wasn't very good. It was kind of gross. It wasn't very good tasting. The eyes were not bad, but everything else was. That was a sushi joke. It was so fast that Barracuda's buddy turned on him as soon as he smelled blood in the water. As soon as he saw it was so quick. And some of you are bleeding out. And you're getting chunks taken out of you. Because you got all kinds of people around you that are just waiting for you to fall. Just waiting for you to be dismayed. And they're taking chunks out of you. You've got to get back up. If you're going to if you're going to survive this thing, you've got to keep moving forward. You can't let them get you down. You cannot let them get you down. You may be saying, but Sam, these people are dead in this passage. They can't get back up. That is a problem. Amen. Thank you very much. Y'all have a good night. I wish I could do that. Oh, man. The Lord Jesus Christ specializes in raising up dead things.
Amen.
I remember hearing a preacher preach one time. The preacher says, we're going to get to heaven, and the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come. You're going to go through the most beautiful garden you've ever been in your entire life. You know, walk by, and the Lord's going to take some scissors. Someone's going to hand him some scissors, and he's going to snip off a rose. He's going to hand it to you. It's the biggest bud you've ever seen, bigger than your head. And there's no thorns on it, he says. And then you say, but Lord, you cut it off. Surely it'll die. And the Lord says, nothing dies in my presence.
Amen.
That is good. That's yours. That's not mine. That's good. That's good. Amen. That's good. Nothing dies in the Lord Jesus Christ's presence.
That's right.
You can live. You can get back up. You can keep moving. You really can. You know, I was just, I said this just the other night, but I want to use it again as an illustration here because it left such a big impression on me whenever I was watching the Olympics and saw those people racing around the track. And the United States team had this relay race. And it was a women's United States team, and they were doing this relay here. And the first one hands it to the next one, and they're in contention. I mean, they're doing pretty good. And the last one, the lady comes up and she hands it to puts the baton in the hand of the very last lady. And she goes to grab it, and it slips a little bit and falls and hits the ground. Everybody takes off past her. And she looks down at it, and she drops to the ground. And she beats the ground with her hands. And you know what I'm saying at that point? I don't like the Olympics at all, but I'm yelling at the TV. Get back up! Keep going! You're an American! Get up! Hey, lose if you gotta lose the race, but get back up and keep and finish the race! Pick up the baton and keep walking because you are not the last person to hold that baton possibly. You could be handing it to somebody else, your kids and your family and the younger people in here. These people ahead of us, they've passed the baton to us. We've got to take it. We've got to finish the race strong. Pass it along to whoever is after us. If you let these people drag you down, you will drop the baton. Can't drop it. Don't let the despair, don't let the problems get you.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen. All right, and that's all. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for everything you've given us, Lord. God, I pray you please be with anybody in here who is having this problem. God, I pray you help them please to get something out of this meeting if they haven't been able to yet. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.